This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Come out of the world, oh my people.
Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instructions of our Creator and putting His Word into action. From suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show with your host, Paul Nisan.
Hello, everybody. This is Paul Nisan from TorahLifeMinistries.org is the website. And Torah Life Ministries is the ministry. Thank you for listening today. I've been on this radio station giving messages about the instructions of our Creator, known as the Torah. And I am a Jewish believer in Messiah. And the Torah is the first five books of the Bible. Now, many Christians believe that the Old Testament is done away with. And the law that Moses was the messenger and handed down that came from our Creator Yahweh has been nailed to the cross. And I choose to look at everything Yeshua, the one you call Jesus, had asked us to do and how to do it. When I got saved, I looked at the Bible and I looked at all the red letters in the Bible. And I looked at everything Yeshua our Messiah said and told us what to do. And I compared it to what the church says or even to the commentary. And it's often not adding up. Oftentimes, Yeshua told us to do things that the Bible or the church is not teaching us. So I decided to do this series called the Yeshua Said series or the Jesus Said series, looking at everything Jesus said and only Jesus, and not looking at what the commentary says or what people's opinions are and everything else. And I've already on my website had completed 33 episodes of this Yeshua Said series, looking and dissecting the book of Matthew. And today, that's what we're going to look at. We're going to look at the book of Matthew and the Yeshua Said series. You can go to my website, TorahLifeMinistries.org, and you can look at the previous episodes that we did, and there's still more to come. But this episode today is what we're going to be discussing on this program. And again, TorahLifeMinistries.org, you can check that out. And here it goes. Today I'm going to be continuing my series, Yeshua Said, looking at everything Yeshua our Messiah said and suggested, and nothing else by nobody else, just what the Yeshua the Messiah said. And so that's what we're going to be focusing on. And the episode, this is the 34th part in the system of this, and we're going to be looking today at Matthew 12:38 to 12:45. So that's what we're going to be looking at of the Yeshua Said series. So as we start off here, I just want to say there's many books out there and there's a lot of commentary on what people think the Messiah is saying and so on. But what was he really saying and what did he really say? That's what I like to focus on. And some Bibles might have it as just the red letters in Scripture. Well, there you go, the red letters of Scripture. So, the Yeshua Said series, Matthew 12:38 to 12:45. So, first we get Matthew 12:38. It says, one day, actually, let's go to verse 41. So it says, one day, some teachers of religious law and Pharisees came to Yeshua and said, "Teacher, we want you to show us a miraculous sign to prove your authority." And this is from the New Living Translations. But Yeshua replied, "Only an evil, adulterous generation would demand a miraculous sign. But the only sign I will give them is the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was in the belly of the great fish for 3 days and three nights, so will the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. The people of Nineveh will stand up against this generation on Judgment Day and condemn it. For they repented of their sins and preached and at the preaching of Jonah. Now someone greater than Jonah is here, but you refuse to repent." So when we look at this and the NLT translation here, when it says, "One day some of the teachers," this is verse 38 now, again, "One day some of the teachers of religious law of Pharisees came to Yeshua and said, 'Teacher, We want you to show us a miraculous sign to prove your authority. So it sounds like just he was hanging out, and one day they just came up to him. But he was already in a conversation with them, and they were already in discussion. And another translation that I like to read, it's called the Hebrew Roots translation. It says, "Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, 'Teacher, we desire to see a sign from you.'" So the conversation was continuing, and when you started off and say one day, it doesn't seem like it was continuing. But when it starts off, then some of the scribes, so you knew there was a conversation already going on. Now, this conversation that was going on was about Yeshua teaching, and he already did miraculous signs up to this point. So what were they really seeking for? He already gave them many signs and did miraculous things. You know, it's really what they were looking for, and what their goal was to find ways to reject him as who he said to came. He came to be the Messiah. In verse 34 of Matthew 12, he already just got finished telling them and calling them a generation of vipers. So this conversation was already in play, going back and forth, and he knew who he was dealing with. And so on that note, when we look at the scriptures, and we look at what our Creator asked us to do, the commandments He asked us to keep, according to the Bible, that's what righteousness is. It's keeping the guidelines and instructions according to the scriptures. And it says in the New Covenant, the Renewed Covenant, if you sin is transgression of the Torah, not transgression of the man-made law, but of the Torah, which was given by Moses, or Moses was the messenger, was provided by our Creator Yahweh, and Moses was the messenger. But really, what Yeshua wanted us to do, and why he called people generation of vipers, and what he calls us to do, is said really well in Matthew 5:20, that we must go beyond just keeping the commandments. And it says in Matthew 5:20, "But I warn you, unless your righteousness is better than the Pharisees, than the righteousness of the teachers of religious law, the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." So, you know, so it goes beyond what we see and what we're supposed to do, but it comes down to faith. Faith in the unseen. That's what it comes down to. On the other hand, we have to understand that as we physically do what we're called to do, not only does that consider righteous, but it's also shows that there's many blessings connected to the obedience that he wants us to do. And at the same hand, if you're not following the guidelines and instructions, according to the Bible, you are considered wicked. Wicked is sin. Sin is not following the commandments. See, in the old days, there wasn't, you know, well, this person is excused from doing this, or this person doesn't need to do this. No, you were righteous if you kept the commandments, and you were considered a sinner or unrighteous if you broke the commandments. And in the scriptures, it goes on to tell us not even to pray for those people. It says in Jeremiah 7:16, "And you do not pray for these people, do not lift up a cry or a prayer for them, and do not intercede with me, for I do not hear you." Proverbs, another word for wisdom, in 28:9 says, "Whoever turned aside from the ear of hearing the instructions of our Creator, even his prayers is an abomination." And then Proverbs 15:29 says, "Yahweh is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayers of the righteous." So it comes down to hearing and seeing. That's what it really comes down to. And this is a message that Yeshua was talking about. It says, if a person is not righteous, you know, our Creator may possibly hear his prayers, but there's a very good chance, according to the word, that he will not listen to the prayers. He will not hear them. You know, if a person is in disbelief, he's not going to acknowledge Yeshua. He's not going to see Yeshua. And this is really a curse, not seeing or hearing from our Creator. So it goes way beyond following a rule. The rabbis that Yeshua came to rebuke, the Pharisees and sages, they were following the rules that they added to it. Today there are many people that are following the rules, but they're not accepting Yeshua as Messiah. See, and there are many people today that accept Yeshua as Messiah, the one you call Jesus, but then they reject following what he's telling us to do, the guidelines and instructions. That's why it says in the scriptures there's a wide path and there's a narrow path. And that narrow path only few will find. And that narrow path is looking for Yeshua at the end at that narrow gate. But that narrow path is the instructions of Yahweh of doing the work. So it's the work leading to the faith and the works that goes hand in hand. But if you're just choosing one road, you're on the wide road because people like to pick and choose, and that's what many people do. So verse 39 says, "But answering, he said to them, an evil and adulterous generation seeks a sign, and a sign shall not be given except the sign of Jonah, the prophet." So it says the evil generation was not a time frame of people, but a type of people. See, we hear the word generation and we think a time of people, whatever generation it was. But no, it's a type of people. And it's a degeneration of the unbelievers or the undoers. Those that deny Yeshua and living against the instructions of our Creator. And there are still many of that generation with us and amongst us today. Yeshua had already provided signs left and right. He was providing signs all the time. And the greatest sign of bringing people back from the dead, he did it with the widow at Nan's son. This was the first resurrection that Yeshua performed. Jairus' daughter in Luke 8:52-56, he did it again. He showed his power over death by raising the young daughter of Jairus, a synagogue leader. And then John 11, we see him raising, as the third person he raised, and recorded at least, was Lazarus. But you know we go so we got 7:11 the son of Nan, with Luke 8:52 Jairus' daughter, John 11 and Lazarus, but then the greatest resurrection of all time, Yeshua himself. So all the people look for a sign. Everyone looks for a sign, especially the people, the Jewish people at the time of Yeshua. They went by signs. They were looking for signs, okay? So the resurrection of Yeshua, you know, the righteous got the sign. The righteous ones, even though they saw, everyone saw the first three resurrections that Yeshua did, no one got to see Yeshua's resurrection. But who got to see him afterward was you know, the righteous people. It was the evil generation. Those did not get to see him. So we need not be part of this adulterous generation, this evil generation, and it's not going to be a sign to them. It's a sign to the righteous, not the unrighteous. And the unrighteous were seeking a sign, and that was a problem, and that was what Yeshua was saying. Now he talks about Jonah the prophet. And we look at Jonah, a prophet sent to Nineveh, one of the first and only prophets sent away from the land of Israel to go preach to outside of Israel. You know, Nineveh, where he went, was a very wicked place. You know, but Jonah didn't even want to go. It was so wicked. But he tried to run from the assignment. And after being in the belly of the fish for 3 days, he finally went and preached. And many wicked repented at the result of Jonah's preaching. You know, by contrast, when Yeshua came to his people, they refused to repent. So Jonah goes to this wicked place. He didn't even want to go. He finally goes, and people are repenting. And then you got Yeshua, the Messiah, who's here to save all of us. And what happens? They rejected him. So when a sign was asked for, Yeshua said he would not give another one. You know, signs were granted to those who believe. And they didn't convince people. They confirmed their faith. You know, it's not an excuse towards their unbelief. And then we look at verse 40 in Matthew 12, and it says, "And even as Jonah was in the belly of a huge fish for 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights." So we see here the resurrection of Yeshua, called here the sign of the prophet Jonah. It was a great proof of Yeshua being Messiah. You know, and as Jonah was in the fish for 3 days and three nights, and then came out alive, Yeshua was in the grave for 3 days and three nights and then rose again. Now, many people get caught up with 3 days and three nights. You know, it's a whole nother teaching, but I will tell everybody here that thinks you can get 3 days and three nights from Friday to Sunday. Redo your math. The math won't add up if you try to do that. So 3 days and three nights. But the main thing is that not where he rose or when he rose. The main thing is he rose. He rose again. Hallelujah. But we compare Jonah with Yeshua. And you put them side by side. Two verses. You got Matthew 12:40 versus Luke 11:30. Two parallel verses side by side. So Matthew 12:40 says, "For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." And then Luke 11:30 says, "For as Jonah became a sign to Ninevites, so also the Son of Man will be a sign to this generation, to the wicked generation he'd be a sign." And the generation, again, is still around us. And the sign is us preaching and proclaiming and letting people know his story about history. So the people in Nineveh were so wicked, but Jonah preached anyway. And then they finally repented. See, it doesn't matter, folks. No matter how blind, no matter how deaf you are, anyone and everyone has the opportunity to see again and hear again. Faith in Yeshua gives us a clean heart, and the works of Yeshua keeps it clean. We have the recipe found in Scripture of what we need to do, and this is what Yeshua is trying to tell them. He said to his disciples, "The world will not see me anymore, but you will see me." You know, the righteous ones will see him again. They get it. Jonah finally went, and the message he preached was not an easy one. It was not a light one. It was a hard message about repentance. Only 40 days he repented, and he didn't do miracles, and he got, after 40 days of preaching, the people finally prayed and repented. And then you have Yeshua, you know, our very own creator, going to preach with love and compassion, doing all kinds of miracles, preaching for just several years, and most of the people of his time rejected him. The wicked people of Nineveh repenting at the preaching of Jonah, and the wicked generation that was refusing the message of Yeshua. It's just crazy. So, you know, we have to decide which way we're going to be and what are we going to choose when we hear these messages. You know, Deuteronomy 30:19 says, "Today I've given you the choice between life and death, between blessing and curse. Now I call on the heavens and the earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live." So we have this opportunity. We choose life. And we got the enemy around us that just wants to steal and take away our joy. But we also have Yeshua, who's always ready to hear and answer our prayers. And that's what he says all the time. No matter who we are, no matter what we've done yesterday, it doesn't matter. You know, he's here and waiting for you to repent. Then we go to verse 41. It says, "Men, Ninevites, will stand up in the judgment with this generation and will condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, one greater than Jonah is here." So one greater than Jonah is here. And so you had the warning from our Creator. The warning came upon the people. And you had the Ninevites hearing this warning. And then now the Queen of Sheba is coming to seek Yahweh's wisdom that he used through Solomon. But Yahweh's own chosen people failed to recognize him. And so it's just amazing how his own people rejected him. And then you had foreigners coming from far away. It said Sheba came from around the world to hear this the wisdom of Yahweh. Now we look at what Jonah means. Jonah means dove. You know, so we have Yeshua applying through Jonah, a greater dove than Jonah is here. Talk about the dove that appeared at the immersion of Yeshua. In verse 42 it says, "The queen of the south will be raised in judgment with this generation and will condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, one more than Solomon is here." So one more than Solomon's here. The queen came to hear Solomon. The queen was seeking the wisdom of Yahweh through him. And King Solomon was wise. But true wisdom comes from the fear of Yahweh, not the fear of man. It says in Proverbs 9:10, "The fear of Yahweh is the foundation of wisdom, knowledge, and hope. One results in good judgment." In Proverbs 1:7, fear of Yahweh is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Let's look at another verse. Proverbs 15:33. Fear Yahweh. The fear of Yahweh teaches wisdom, humility, and precedes honor. So now when you think about that, and you think about those scriptures, and then you see the Queen of Sheba leaving her palace, leaving her own land, no promise of being welcomed where she was going, made this long journey, honored Solomon, the son of David, bringing him gifts of gold and silver, while Israel rejected Yeshua, the son of David, and brought him nothing but grief. I mean, Queen Sheba had, no intention, to come to Solomon, but we are invited to sit at the feet of Yeshua. She had no invitation, she had no invitation to come to Solomon, but we have an invitation to sit at the feet of Messiah every single day. And what are we going to choose? Verse 43 says, "Now when an unclean spirit goes out from a man, it wanders in places that have no water in them, and seeks rest, but does not find it." The scripture shows us unclean spirits are real. In people, they are real. And no one understood this better than Yeshua. Yeshua knew exactly what was going on. And in this verse here, in verse 43, he's not giving a teaching about spiritual warfare. But he is telling people that a spirit or a demon can inhibit a man and go outside of the man and then return later with more demons. You know, so Yeshua was getting at the seriousness of rejecting him. Rejecting him is the opposition to everything that our Creator desired for. And no matter where we are, if we don't know him, it's one thing. But then if we reject him, it's taken to another level. They're going to be worse off. Worse off. And that's what the scripture is leading to. And then verse 44 says, "Then it says, I will return to my house from where I came out, and it finds that it is empty and swept and orderly. So you got the demons talking to the demons now. The unclean spirits talking to the unclean spirits. And somebody might say, well, how could somebody have their Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, and an unclean spirit? And the Bible shows darkness and light go hand in hand and can coexist. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we are not fighting against flesh and blood, but enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places." So there's sort of a lot going on out there that we got to not get sidetracked with. So we have to understand, no matter what anyone says, or whatever the Spirit says, that Yeshua is coming back, and he's coming back for his righteous ones. So our Creator gives revelation to man on man's timing. It says in to some much, to others he gives little, but we have better not neglect to make the most of whatever he gives us, and whatever he gives us is adequate for us. But we need to receive what he's giving us. And that's what Yeshua tries to do in these verses here. You know, you refuse to obey my commands of the scripture. I want you to seriously consider what happens when you do that. And what happens when you say that. And then we go to verse 45. "Then it will go out and land seven other spirits with it, who are worse than it. And they will enter and dwell in it. And the evil of the man will be worse than the beginning. This evil generation will be like this." Yeshua was describing at the time the attitude of the nation Israel, and mostly the religious leaders that were in Israel. And this generation today isn't much better, if not even worse. So Yeshua compares that generation with a man who was demon-possessed. And also who had been freed from those demons. So it's great. So while the demon was gone, the man got his life into order, swept and put it in order. And just like we're called to do. And so there have been people at that time that made an outward thankfulness of accepting Yeshua. Just that everything was about the outside. Israel even returned. They went. They repented of the Canaan idols that eventually got them into captivity and so on. They repented from the devil item worship or from demon worship, but over time, since the nation as a whole did not turn wholeheartedly to turn to worship Yahweh, the religious system was developed. And that proved worse than the pagan worship. That is powerful. That is powerful that proved worse than the pagan worship. So this is what we need to consider and think about. And this is at the preaching of John the Baptist and the early ministry of Yeshua. Many of the nations and even some of the religious leaders turned from some of their sinful ways and cleaned up their act. And that's what he wants us to do. He wants to find us when we're, and it just so happens many people that are broke find him and see him and get to know him. And to turn their ways. And that's what repent is. So, you know, just cleaning up your life without understanding that Yahweh is your provider. He's your protector. He's your everything. It's just going to get it more dirty again with more spirits coming back. But you keep it clean by having faith in Yahweh and on a daily basis do the works he told you to do and you'll keep that clean. And so that's what I wanted to focus this episode of the Yeshua Said series. And I appreciate you listening tonight. And thank you very much. And put your comments or questions below the video. If you see this on a video, if you're hearing this on a radio, thank you. Go to the website TorahLifeMinistries.org. That's TorahLifeMinistries.org. Thank you very much for watching today. You've been listening to Torah Life Ministries with Paul Neeson. My local fellowship is in Lake Worth. We meet Saturdays at 1 p.m. We also have an online ministry. We meet every Friday evening at 10 p.m. Eastern Time to fellowship. And we have various different street evangelism activities we do in the local Lake Worth, West Palm Beach area. Doing our best to get the information out about Yeshua our Messiah to let people know what he wanted us to do and also his Hebrew roots and the Torah and the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. Trying to explain to people that they need to rip out that page in the Bible that separates the original covenant from the renewed covenant. It's not two books. It's not an Old and New Testament. It's one book. And when we understand that Yeshua our Messiah, the one you call Jesus, was teaching the same instructions that Yahweh our Creator passed down to Moses to give to the people, and then get to the understanding that the guidelines and instructions were for Israel. And if you are a believer in Yeshua Messiah, you are Israel. And these guidelines and instructions are for you to bless you. And they're for us to follow. Not because we have to, but because we want to. So we're saved only by the blood of Yeshua, the one you call Jesus. That's the only way we have salvation. So we don't keep the guidelines and instructions or the commandments because we have to. We keep them not because to be saved, but we keep them because we are saved. And that's the way it should be. So thank you for listening to the program today, and shalom, shalom.
You have been listening to Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Neeson. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to Torah Life Ministries, P.O. Box 16156, West Palm Beach, Florida 33416. And thank you for your prayers and generous support. Torah Life Ministry.